news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
It's 1 week until Joe Biden's inauguration and Donald Trump's White House eviction. But it's also a day when history is being made, as Donald Trump becomes the first president in the nation's 244-year history to be impeached a second time. And it's looking as if he might be the first ever to also be convicted by the Senate. More on that in a moment. First, House Democrats on Tuesday pushed through a non-binding resolution calling on Vice President Mike Pence to invoke the 25th Amendment, declaring Trump unfit after his incitement of a mob that attacked the Capitol, and remove him from office. Pence notified Speaker Nancy Pelosi that he was rejecting the idea, thus setting up a Wednesday vote on impeachment. There's one article drafted by Representatives David Cicilline of Rhode Island, Ted Lieu of California, and Jamie Raskin of Maryland. They started writing it while in lockdown during Wednesday's siege, and it charges Trump with incitement of insurrection. Trump gravely endangered the security of the United States and its institutions of government. He threatened the integrity of the democratic system, interfered with the peaceful transition of power, and imperiled a co-equal branch of government. He thereby betrayed his trust as president to the manifest injury of the people of the United States. Shortly after 9 Eastern time, Wednesday morning, the House began the debate. A vote is expected sometime late Wednesday afternoon. The first time Trump was impeached, only one Republican, now former Congressman Justin Amash, voted with the Democrats. This time, though, as many as a dozen Republicans are expected to step up. Congressman John Cotico of New York on Tuesday became the first Republican to announce he's a yes vote. That was followed by Adam Kinzinger, Fred Upton, and Jamie Herrera Butler, and then Liz Cheney. The number 3 Republican in the House issued this statement. Quote, "The President of the United States summoned this mob, assembled the mob, and lit the flame of this attack. Everything that followed was of his doing. None of this would have happened without the President. The President could have immediately and forcefully intervened to stop the violence. He did not. There has never been a greater betrayal by a President of the United States of his office and his oath to the Constitution." Liz Cheney. The New York Times is reporting that House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, quote, "will not be whipping the vote." That's a biggie, not to mention the fact that McCarthy reportedly warned his members not to verbally attack colleagues who vote for impeachment because it could endanger their lives. Wow. So after the House votes to impeach, the Speaker then sends it to the Senate for the trial. The timing on that, though, is uncertain. Chuck Schumer is reported to be negotiating with Mitch McConnell about the scheduling of a trial. If McConnell agrees, they could reconvene the Senate immediately and hold a trial in advance of Biden's inauguration. If not, there will likely be a delay to allow Biden time to get his cabinet confirmed and start fixing the damage Trump has done to the country. The Wall Street Journal is reporting that Biden's transition team said that career officials would be put in place at most cabinet departments and in some sub-cabinet agencies following his inauguration. The move will enable Biden to prevent any of Trump's political appointees from staying at the helm of cabinet agencies past January 20th. But regarding the possibility of the Senate convicting Trump, the New York Times dropped a very big story Tuesday with the headline reading, "McConnell is said to be pleased about impeachment, believing it will be easier to purge Trump from the Republican Party." The tide seemed to be starting to turn. Well, it took 6 days, but there was finally a press briefing on Tuesday about the siege. For some reason, though, neither FBI Director Chris Wray nor Acting Attorney General Jeffrey Rosen were there. Instead, the briefing was given by Acting U.S. Attorney in Washington Michael Sherwin and FBI official Stephen D'Antonio, who were the first to address the nation about the attacks. They said that they've opened more than 170 subject files and charged over 70 cases in their investigation into Wednesday's attacks. Sherwin said the scope of the crimes is, quote, "mind-blowing," and could include charges of sedition and conspiracy. serious crimes that could result in up to 20 years in prison. Others described rioters engaging in open-handed combat with police officers and confirmed that there were pipe bombs planted outside Republican and Democratic headquarters. And they told of new threats of terrorism also rolling in ahead of the inauguration, including a plot described by one member of Congress in which thousands of armed extremists would surround the Capitol and prevent Democrats from entering. This is like a really bad movie. Representative Mikey Sherrill of New Jersey said Tuesday night in a webcast that she saw some members of Congress leading people through the Capitol on the 5th of January in what she said was reconnaissance for the next day. She charged that some of her House colleagues had abetted Trump and the mob, saying, "I'm going to see they are held accountable." Well, those members she identified were Congressman Paul Gosar, Andy Biggs, and Mo Brooks. House Democrats introduced a pair of resolutions that would formally censure and potentially remove those members who were complicit. One resolution aims to condemn and censure Representative Mo Brooks, who took the stage at a rally Wednesday before the riot and said,
"Today is the day American patriots start taking down names and kicking ass."
We also finally heard from Donald Trump himself for the first time since Tuesday as he left the White House, headed for Alamo, Texas, and his wall, whatever. He, of course, defended himself against allegations that his remarks incited the mob that stormed the Capitol. And he said Democrats' calls to impeach him were a, quote, "continuation of the greatest witch hunt in the history of politics." Oh, please. And he claimed his remarks at that rally were totally appropriate. Really? Totally appropriate? In that speech at the rally on January 6th, Trump urged supporters to march on Congress, repeating his false claim of voter fraud and telling them, quote, "If you don't fight like hell, you're not going to have a country anymore." The hypocrite, speaking at Alamo, Texas, told his supporters not to be violent ahead of inauguration, saying, "Now is the time for our nation to heal, and it's time for peace and for calm." I have no words. In other news, the Supreme Court on Tuesday granted the Trump administration's request to reinstate longstanding restrictions for patients seeking the morning after pill. This was the first abortion-related case to come before new Supreme Court Justice Amy Coney Barrett, and it all but confirms abortion rights activists' fears that she will be a deciding conservative factor in such cases. The FDA restrictions require an in-person visit with a medical professional to pick up the medication, a measure that federal courts had blocked, citing pandemic concerns. Courts have been fighting over the medication abortion rule since last summer. In a surprise move, the Environmental Protection Agency on Wednesday will unveil a climate rule that will effectively prohibit the future regulation of greenhouse gases from any stationary industry other than power plants. This new Trump regulation could hamstring much of Biden's agenda, for example, by prohibiting Biden's EPA from setting carbon limits on oil and gas wells or refineries. Just lovely. There is some good news, though. Former Michigan Governor Rick Snyder, his top aide Rich Baird, and former health director Nick Lyon have been told that they will face criminal charges resulting from Flint, Michigan's water crisis. Up to 10 individuals are set to be formally indicted as soon as Thursday. This story is a case of just desserts. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo abruptly canceled a European trip on Tuesday after European leaders said they would not meet with him. Seriously. Pompeo had been scheduled to first go to Luxembourg, but that country's foreign minister declined to meet with him. The second leg of the trip to the EU offices in Belgium remained on the schedule, but it was called off at the last minute after top EU officials also balked at meeting the now toothless, soon-to-be former Secretary of State. A diplomatic source told Reuters that U.S. allies were embarrassed by Pompeo after last week's siege at the Capitol by Trump's supporters. Pompeo has condemned the violence, which left five people dead, without addressing Trump's baseless election fraud claims at the center of the insurrection. And in the story that just won't end, at least 4,327 Americans lost their lives on Tuesday from COVID-19 as the nation suffered yet another single-day high for coronavirus-related deaths. That raises the nation's overall death toll from the pandemic to at least 380,796 people. The death toll here has averaged more than 3,300 every day over the past week. That's a spike of more than 217% from the middle of November. The number of new cases being reported daily continues spiking, meaning that the astronomical daily death figures are likely to keep rising in the weeks to come. Tuesday was just the second time that the U.S. reported more than 4,000 virus-related deaths in a single day, but based on current hospitalizations, it certainly won't be the last. I got the news. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Visit NicoleSandler.com for more, and please click on that donate button.